Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time to cover our assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Happy New Year, Mr. Lynch.
And Happy New Year to you and everyone out there. Jill is obviously.
Well,
hope you all enjoyed your family and friends over this holiday. It
was interesting because no matter how hard I try, I can't break something that my mother got into my brain. Uh-oh. And that is, on New Year's Eve, you call your family members and wish them a Happy New Year's. And once again, it happened automatically last night. I went to bed early enough not to do it. But at 5 of midnight, like somebody just poked me with a stick, I got up and I did it. I can't stop it. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's not something you should stop. It's quite a lovely, lovely custom. I do it myself. And actually, this year, to some out-of-towners, I used the email, which I've never used before.
I used texting for some of them, yes. I texted them, but most were phone calls.
Yeah, it's I find it a marvelous experience. But, you know, I'm very old-fashioned.
So am I. In certain ways, I am too.
Yes. Well, listen, folks, it's the beginning of a new year, out with the old. I would like to start with the recent November elections, which made a statement in terms of the House of Representatives, and I think made a statement regarding a lot of things, but I want to just focus right now on health care. Something we mentioned, everybody mentioned going into the election, and it turned out it was the prime choice, number one for a lot of people who voted. But what struck me was I have an example of a new member of the House who brings an experience and vitality that I'm very, very happy for, because in the elections, as time goes by, you think, I do anyhow, a little bit more of your children and your grandchildren. In any event, a young woman, 32 years old, her name is Charisse Davids, D-A-V-I-D-S. She is a Native American woman. She was educated at community schools. She then went on and got her degree at Cornell. She had been a nurse, so he had that experience. And she ran very much on affordable care. That's her interest and will be her interest. Now, this woman won in a district in the state of Illinois, which had been dominated by a Republican for the last four terms. She is a 32-year-old woman. She is a lesbian. She is very key in martial arts. I saw her interviewed last night. Very smart, very representative, in my opinion, of the new breed coming into the House, which is full of energy and idealism and community spirit, which at this time in the life of our country, I think is very, very important. So look for her and look for many of these other new folks, particularly in the House. And actually, in the Senate, we have a lady from New Mexico who's now a senator.
It's what's interesting about what you're saying is there's a majority of these women who were elected are progressives, and the senator from New Mexico from Arizona is not a progressive, but she is I would call her
a woman,
a more liberalist than John McCain. She's a woman, but
okay.
But,
and I just have to throw something in here right now. No. Just,
I'd like to finish. Go on.
Okay, go on. Simply that I was raised. You. It didn't matter what you were, but go on. That's all I was saying. It's like a woman, a lesbian, a this, or that.
No. That's a very important point, but it is why I described her whole background as I knew it, her sexual preference being part of it. But that's a very good point, Jill.
Well, what I was trying to lead to is that you have a whole bunch of progressive
individuals
elected in the House, and what shows you the trouble that's ahead for the Democrats is the retiring Senator Claire McCaskill, with the way she criticized all these brand new people who are elected for their stances and blamed basically their stances on her defeat. Unfortunately, you still have a few people in the House of Representatives like her that are Democrats, and they sooner or later have to understand that they don't have to abandon their platform altogether, but if the Democrats want to succeed, they're going to have to find a way to get these progressive candidates. And 99% of the 40 people that were elected, I'll say 90%, have progressive values. They've got to find a way to get their values into the Democratic Party line. And if they can do that, and then they'll be successful. But if they can't, and if the old can't accept the new, there's going to be the same problems that we've had for decades.
Which will be pretty interesting. I want to just, before we get back to politics, I want to skip over to something that is catching my eye, and it happens to be financial, which is the number of people of that age, young, youthful, whatever, who think that capitalism rots and who want a socialist situation. But, you know, I know a lot of 30-somethings, you know, 33, 34, 35, 38, who couldn't make ends meet or keep a budget. Now, it's not their fault. It's the way things have sort of worked out with all of the, with much of the wealth rising to the very, very top, and then the whole rest of the universe. But understanding capitalist principles, irrespective of whether you like them or not, is, I think, an issue.
It's very much an issue, and very much an issue, in my opinion, that progressive folks, particularly the new ones, will address and get some of the oldsters aboard. The thing is, we need not 1 + 1 in terms of equality in this country vis-a-vis finances. We need a relative fairness. Most people, in looking at history, do not deny some people who do make a lot of money in a given circumstance. But what most people will not agree to is a system that is rigged in favor of the few, in this instance, the very wealthy. And that must be addressed to create an overall health in the country and the economy, whereby people can make enough money to not only take care of themselves, their health care, and their needs, but be able to save and to be able to invest, maybe not like a very wealthy person in terms of dollars, obviously, but relatively speaking, are able to invest for their future, which will make them more independent and give them a better feeling of well-being. The progressive should be working towards increasing taxes on the upper percentages on the tax base, and redistributing that down to those who are making modest income. The rate decreases on a dollar basis were gigantic versus what our middle class gained. That's got to be worked on. In terms of throwing capitalism out,
you can't.
Totally. That's not the answer.
That's why Bernie Sanders calls himself a democratic socialist. It's not. You don't throw out. What we're doing. You're just going to adjust what we're doing.
You figure out how to make it. It's not even make it work. You have to. It has to be reconfigured so that, you know, a lot of this stuff hasn't been updated in how many years?
Well, it's updated, but it's
Updated.
The people who have had the power, and those are the people with money who can, participate in Citizens United and do a lot of things like that. They've gotten a bit greedy, and our politicians, because so many of them are bought and paid for through contributions, donations, whatever, they go along with the party. That's another area that must be dealt with. If you're looking to make taxes more progressive, you've got to eliminate these lobbyists who get money from people who can write it off as they attempt to make more money by finding loopholes in our system.
Capitalism used to be for everybody, and its focus has narrowed greatly over the last 25 years, where capitalism focuses in on the gains for people that have money.
Exactly. Exactly right. And to give you an historical example, Ford Motor, when it was created by Henry Ford, he's not well thought of in many circles for whatever reason, but what he did, he created a unique wage for the time, he guaranteed to his employees, and he gave them breaks on automobiles, and he kind of brought them into the prosperity that he began enjoying creating this automobile. We need more of that in the spirit of building better corporations that will last longer and be more profitable while benefiting the citizenry, which makes up our country, which makes up, no matter how rich you are, you must deal with people who have less money than you. Better that they be healthy and happy rather than sick and curmudgeons. I think back to a newsletter I wrote many years ago when there was a lot of health situations going on in New York, and I said, you know, what's so incredible to me is that people in government don't get on this and realize if you allow people's health standards to deteriorate, many of those, and I'm talking New York City specifically at this time 20 years ago, then what will happen is, overly simplistic, everybody will be sick, there won't be any workers, and then where do you go? So that's kind of the spirit of a very practical spirit of getting more people up in the middle class and lower, get them up producing after-tax dollars that they can save and invest in themselves. And but the bottom line to this, those young people who I believe many of them came out to vote because they were sick and tired of the lies that we're hearing from the president, those young people need to keep studying and learning how things work. And, you know, just yelling at the moon doesn't make it turn blue. You've got to learn how to do things. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done, in my opinion, in the education system in terms of history of our country particularly and of the world, and also what makes your finances tick. And shorthanding it here, it's consumption versus savings. If you're moaning, oh, I don't have enough money in this, and maybe you don't. I mean, maybe you're underpaid, maybe whatever. I don't deny that. But you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what's my consumption versus my savings? And if you're not paying attention and being conscious and aware of putting 10% aside each paycheck, well, yeah, you've got a problem. And you start with, what am I consuming that I don't have to consume? And that doesn't mean you have to deny yourself. But in this society where we've grown to have almost anything we want at a whim on a credit card, we basically have got to get back and discipline ourselves.
You know, it's interesting. Go on.
Go ahead. I'm really finished. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, it goes back to the old basics. When I was growing up, when I was a young guy, and I was making $400 a month, and I had a wife and two kids. That was $400 a month, folks. And we managed to get along without any financial help from my mother. And then years later, into my marriages, I did exactly what you said, Jim. I got successful, and I started to do things, and I wound up in trouble and had to declare bankruptcy. And then I learned from that bankruptcy. I shouldn't have never, ever been in that position. And people nowadays who just think that, they see a pretty thing and they can get it on credit. It doesn't work, folks.
It's not
or later,
just on credit. It's like Amazon. Everything makes it really easy to just get it.
But if you see a house and it's $400,000 and you have you can really afford a $200,000 house, and you get some weird financing thing that says, "Wow, you can do this." You can't. And those are the things that people have to learn, or relearn,
or be educated around.
But in the last 4 minutes, Jim, the interesting thing about the progressive that are coming into Congress now, Bernie Sanders' health care for all plan is gotten a big boost. Now, there's still people that don't like it all, and really it's not a plan that you can implement all at once. But what the progressives are going to try to do, and I hope the rest of the party goes along with it, is take Medicare and progressively bring it down, lowering it in age. That can be done very successfully, and I know that would meet with Bernie Sanders' approval, where instead of 66, you bring it down to 64. 2 years later, you bring it down to 62. 2 years later, you bring it down to 60. 2 years later, you bring it down to 58, and you keep lowering it, and sooner or later, the system balances itself out, where the younger people still are paying for their health care the way they have to pay it, and the Medicare costs come down for everybody else. It's an idea that's time has come.
Right, and Axios had this about Medicare for All. This is from Forbes: let people buy into Medicare between the ages of 55 and 64.
Yeah.
And Bill Clinton floated an idea of it during his presidency. And
let's just stay with that again for a minute. 66, 64, 62, 60. That is practical thinking. We have such an enormous revenue base in this overall country that doing that very simplistic lowering from 66 to 64 to 62 does the trick with our huge base of monies. That's what is missing in Washington. Okay, here's a simple plan. Let's do it. Well, instead, in Washington, here's a simple plan, and X amount of people, men and women in the Congress, say, oh, that's good, but how can I make a buck out of this?
Yeah.
How can I get more donations?
You know,
we need to eliminate that kind of thinking, because it's here. You know, it's not in Africa where people are starving and fighting, but it's here where we have the wherewithal to do this kind of stuff.
And when you offer Medicare to people that are 55 and over and they pay for it, now they're not going to pay what I'm paying for. I mean, I've got a great, it's $240-some a month, and it really is a great plan through Medicare and my Medicare supplemental plan. But you can offer that plan to people 50 and up, and instead of paying $600 and $700 a month, they will pay $300 to $500 a month. They'll save, so you can even bring in more people like that to make the system work.
Any of you out there who have the enthusiasm should write to your congressman and write, frankly, to every level of government. It's like something that you put it out there in the ethers and it catches on. Marshall, last year, repeatedly, as we talked elections and this and that, always brought us back to the local offices, how important they were. And indeed, that has begun to happen now, where more Democrats have taken over governorships and legislatures and so forth. This is where we We need to think. We need to do. And it's there for us. We have the right to vote. And right. I want to mention a story. We call.
Well, you can't. We're out of time, Jim.
Well, I'll mention the story anyway.
All right. Very quickly.
We called a friend to wish her Happy New Year. She's now in Australia. She comes out of, I guess, Brazil, New York, Australia. She can't vote in Australia yet, but she can vote here. But she was saying to my wife, isn't it incredible? Here, everybody has to vote. If you don't go to the polling places, you are fined. You don't have to vote. You have to go and say, I'm here. Whereas in the U.S., we are so spoiled. Why? I don't know the reason why.
All right.
Anyhow, boy, this is short, huh? Listen, were you trying to get me? Because I was trying to get you, and I was getting some kind of busy signal.
Yeah, you must have been dialing the wrong number, but I got through to you, so that's what counts.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is very good. Let's have a good year, and keep your eye on Sherwood Brown and Amy, our girl Amy from Minnesota. Lynch is looking at them to handicap them.
Okay, all right.
Take care. All right, my loves.
Take care.
Let's have a great year.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.